Welcome to the VK7 Regional News for the 25th of June 2017. This broadcast is brought to you by VK7 Whisky India and read today by Justin, VK7 Tango Whisky. This broadcast utilises repeaters around VK7 and the following HF rebroadcast stations. On 3.570 MHz by Gary, VK7 JGD, 7.140 MHz by Ross, VK7 ALH, 14.130 MHz by Mike, VK7 FB, and 28.525 MHz by Tony, VK7 VKT. This broadcast is repeated on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7 RTC in the south and VK7 RAA in the north. And we start with Northwest News, the Cradle Coast Amateur Radio Club, CCARC, VK7 RMD update. I have a very special and important message from one of the Cradle Coast Amateur Radio Club Incorporated's technical team that take care of their repeater network. Last Friday, Dick walked with a hard slog up Mount Duncan to the repeater site VK7 RMD carrying quite a heavy Unilab 2-metre replacement repeater that has had a CTCSS tone fitted to attempt to eliminate the strange interference which the repeater has suffered since putting it back in air after a long absence. The tone decided on is 141.3 Hz, which has always been the tone on the 70 centimetre repeater on the same site. It is planned to install this tone to all the club repeaters over time as site checks, repairs and maintenance allows. Dick reported that the repeater appears to have just as good a specs on the bench as the one being removed, also for the tone to be fitted as a replacement spare repeater. Obviously, the team would like some reports to confirm that it works well following its recommissioning. The club hopes that this will cause no inconvenience to any amateurs that have been using this device. The club wishes to point out that the Mount Duncan repeater site has now been returned to its original configuration with 2 and 70 centimetre voice-only traffic. The club has requested and paid all the fees for extension to the mountain's frequencies, one being APRS for battery monitoring and who knows down the track. There are other plans in the wind for Duncan and fees and paperwork are with the ACMA. There will be further information on these matters as ACMA approvals come through. As some final information for those who may not know, the club has also provides its infrastructure to house the Northwest St John's Ambulance repeater. And 73s from David, VK7EX for CCARC. And Northwest Tasmanian Radio and Television Group, NWTR and TVG, meeting at Patton Park. A meeting between personnel from 11 Scouts and NWTR and TVG took place recently at Patton Park, Ulverston. The purpose of this meeting was to address some issues experienced in recent Jota and Jyoti camps at this location. On investigation, it was found that the problems associated with the 20-metre beam and its rotator were not as bad as first thought. The rotator mounted at the base of the tower has come apart and the rotating shaft in the centre of the tower allowed the beam to swing freely, which has twisted the coax feeder. Tests on the coax indicate that it will require replacement, and further to this, it was noted that the rotator controller has been faulty for some time. A second-hand rotator has been offered to the Scouting Association for a very low price, which they agreed to purchase and repair and replace necessary equipment to get the 20-metre beam back functional again. With regards to previous issues relating to poor propagation on 2 metres and 70 centimetres to associated repeaters from Patton Park, it was resolved that the club build two beams with sufficient gain to ensure noise-free access to said repeaters. A proposal is being considered to conduct another antenna building day organised by NWTR and TVG to build these beams as a club activity. And that's 73s until next time from Tony, VK7AX, the news officer of NWTR and TVG. And Northern News, the Northern Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club, VK7RAA repeater update. We mentioned last Sunday that our June meeting received an extensive oral report from David, VK7JD, and Paul, VK7KPA, from our Mount Barrow repeater project. Both gentlemen have followed this up with written reports for the minutes, so included in this material this morning presents a great opportunity to bring all broadcast listeners up to date. First off, we hear from David. Winter has arrived and many activities planned for the mountain have been curtailed, at least until the weather improves. For those wondering why our D-Star repeater isn't responding currently, I recently went to reboot the Raspberry Pi controller using the smartphone via the IP link and selected shutdown instead. Fat fingers, it seems. This now requires a trip to the mountain to restart the Pi. More from Paul, VK7KPA, on that in his report. We have now received our two new 70cm folded dipoles and phasing harness for the DMR repeater. Currently it is running temporary ones, and hopefully on our next trip we will install those higher up the main mast. That will considerably extend our coverage and quality of service for those using DMR. Current DMR registrations show that we now have 47 users in VK7. A word on the quality of service at the moment. The Seabridge, the communications device that connects us with other repeaters, is experiencing problems, and that will be resolved in time, so don't worry. It is not our end nor our repeater causing issues. However, the DMR repeater in Hobart, VK7RCR, is having trouble and dropouts and quality issues at present. We are working on a fix for that at the moment. Be patient, it is not far away. Clayton, VK7ZCR, is very frustrated by the issue and doing as much as he can to resolve the problem at his end. The CB2 repeater on the mountain is working well thanks to Joe, VK7JG. Some chuffing is evident, and it is not the repeater. It is actually some operators with weak signals causing the issue. Nothing we can do about that. The next repeater installation will be the Yaesu Fusion C4 FM system. All is ready for the multimode DR1X repeater to be commissioned. Frequencies for this service will be notified and operating procedures explained later. Remember, though, you will be able to go to the repeater in normal FM mode or Yaesu Fusion C4 FM, and the repeater will broadcast in whatever mode has been used to access the repeater. This means that those with Fusion radios can work either mode, and those with legacy FM analog radios can work the repeater as well, but only FM in and FM out. Fusion is the prime purpose of the repeater, but seamlessly switching will allow both modes. Our internet link via the dish is working very well and the service is exceptional at our site. Paul, VK7KPA, will take up the subject in his report and will be evident there is a lot going on with Tony, VK7YBG, and Paul working on our system control on Mount Arthur. Thanks again to the crew for their hard work they have done on the mountain project. As always, looking forward to their next working bee, and anyone who would like to walk is welcome. That comes from David, VK7JD, the project officer, Mount Arthur. Paul, VK7KPA, now takes up the story. As David has mentioned, our 5 GHz Ethernet link to the summit of Mount Arthur into our site hut is working most satisfactorily, giving us internet connectivity for our growing array of digital repeaters, as well as allowing remote monitoring and control access to the site. To give you an idea of the data capacity of this link, it is consistently giving us 380 megabits per second in both directions. As you're aware, this would seem to exceed what NBN can currently provide to customers in regional areas. I have monitored the dashboard of the 5 gig link on many occasions to check link RF signals as well as link data integrity and throughput. On a few occasions, since the 5 gig link was installed, I have seen quite thick rain pass through with no apparent degradation of signal or data quality or throughput. Currently, the base end of the 5 gig link is installed in the township of Lilydale, primarily as an initial test site where it has been very clear view to the mountain summit. For the long term, we plan to locate this base in a few kilometres closer away to the property of Paul, VK7KPA, atop a yet-to-be-erected tower where, again, it should enjoy clear views of the mountaintop. Having this equipment installed at a club member's QTH would seem sensible and in this instance does offer advantages of being powered by independent off-grid power system, especially knowing the regular frequency of power outages due to weather events. While we have no date yet for the relocation of the base end equipment, it would seem possible to have been done by the end of the coming summer. Our new repeater control system is being designed and worked on and is slowly manifesting with a basic prototype of an actual control brain having been made. There is a long way to go yet, with further design considerations and then actual hardware building of PCBs and rack mounting and not to forget the juicy parts of software development to be had. The purpose of the repeater controller is to primarily allow us to have full control over the operation of the radio repeater, especially any boisterous repeater that fails to stop talking as required by the ACMA license by removing power remotely at any time. Secondary functions include being able to monitor various other devices installed in our repeater hut on Mount Arthur, and of obvious particular interest is the monitoring of our solar system and also of the various environmental sensors. At some time I would like to install a quality rain gauge together with a wind speed and direction indicator to show us that the mountain summit is not a place to be at times. Remote access will be by secure web access, with the repeater controller having its own built-in web server. We now have a suitable rack enclosure to install all these components, as well as installing a number of other small Raspberry Pi boards used for specific repeater functions. To give you a small amount of the technical detail about the repeater controller, a 32-bit ARM-based microcontroller will sit at its central core, providing enough features and program memory to essentially do everything we need of it. The software being developed specifically for the job runs directly on a microcontroller with no operating system. This will provide a robust and reliable controller for the many functions we intend to give it. From time to time, I will bring it to the NTARC club rooms, the repeater controller, as it is being progressed, for suggestions and indeed any help from club members. There will be wiring, drilling and even metal fabrication to be done to make a nice job of it. This will hopefully help demystify the inner workings of the repeater controller so that members may gain a better understanding. And I don't have a yet due date for completion, as this, of course, is dependent on other workloads. But I'm expecting during the months of spring and the time we can safely carry and install this equipment up to Mount Arthur. And that's from Paul, VK7KPA. And thank you, Paul and David. There is indeed a lot going on in relation to VK7RAA. Many thanks to the repeater team and all of the hours that they put in to get us to this point. As David says, more work required as weather improves. We can also report the following approval by members at the June General Meeting. The club has now ordered two further Yaesu DR1X repeaters, giving us a total of four. These repeaters have become our go-to choice for new equipment at this point. These new additions will be kept in reserve for possibly replacing equipment at other sites, given their advantages of modernity and, in fact, that they are all dual band and each bi-mode, handling either Fusion C4 FM or traditional analog FM. License variations are underway to allow this bimodal operation to happen on the VK7RAA site, and we are considering doing the same at our other repeater sites. It's an exciting time to hold an amateur radio license. And you are listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Regional News Broadcast. NTARC membership. This will be an absolute final reminder to those members who have yet to pay their 2017 renewal fee. You have only 5 days in which to renew. If your subscription has not been paid by the 30th of June, your name will be removed from the membership register and there can be no time extensions or leniencies shown at this date, as its application is mandated by the club rules. Also, if you have access to the NTARC Yahoo group, that access will also be removed from that date as a consequence of your cessation of membership. Remember, NTARC membership is only a modest $30 per annum, in reality little more than 5 to 6 cups of coffee, and this covers the period of the 1st of January to the 31st of December. It really is great value given all the services the club provides to members and to the wider amateur community as well. If club membership is not your liking, then why not consider making a donation to the NTARC Repeater Fund to assist in its ongoing operations? As noted by the reports from David, VK7JD and Paul, VK7KPA, we have already seen a big expansion of our repeater services, particularly into the digital voice and data arenas, and this is set to increase still further before the year is out. When all is said and done, though, but the provision of these new services and continuation of our existing ones have to be paid for somehow. Your membership subscriptions or alternatively a donation will certainly assist in that regard. Future events. July meetings, Saturday the 8th of July. This will be a barbecue meeting. Barbecue commences at noon with the usual contribution of $10 per person to cover meat costs. Donations of salads and other accompaniments to share would be greatly appreciated. Meeting will commence at 1400 hours, and this will be followed by a show and tell. And this, of course, will be followed by afternoon tea. And as usual, we request donations of cakes, slices, etc. to share at that stage of the day. Field Weekend. This event will be held on the weekends of the 22nd and 23rd of July 2017. The venue will be Santa Arena Park, Scottsdale. The Field Weekend is open to all amateurs around the state and interested parties that may like to see what amateur radio is all about. You can plan to stay the whole weekend or just a day visit on the Saturday, and Santa Arena Park is located on the Bridport Road, approximately 9 kilometres north of Scottsdale. There are toilet and shower facilities on site, and power is available in various locations around the ground. But the most important feature is that there is plenty of area for antenna farms and some handy trees of considerable height. And what's more, for those who want to try a really quiet location for HF operation, this fits the bill. NTARC has booked the exclusive use of the site for the weekend. For the more adventurous, Santa Arena is central to a great many mountains and peaks that feature in the SOTA database. So why not come along and use the Field Weekend as your temporary SOTA base to access some of those sites? The club's biggest barbecue will be taken along to be utilised by all attendees, and for those that have fire pots, you are welcome to bring them along. But please note, it is BYO firewood, barbecue meats and drinks. 2017 International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend, the 19th and 21st of August. Low Head Lighthouse. NTARC will activate the Low Head Light this year and has booked the Lighthouse Keeper's Cottage for this weekend. The event will commence at 0001 UTC on the 19th of August and run through to 2400 UTC on the 20th of August. That's 48 hours. If you haven't been to Low Head Lighthouse, you will be in for a treat if you participate in the weekend. The lighthouse and cottage is located right on the bluff of Low Head, 496 Low Head Road, guarding the mouth of the Tamar River. The views are spectacular, the location is quiet from a HF perspective, and the place is steeped in history, having been the site for the signal fire or light since Lieutenant Governor Patterson first so ordered in 1806. If you are there on Sunday around 1 p.m, you will also be able to experience the mighty sound of the unique G-class foghorn, which really is able to demonstrate that you can actually hear viscerally, not through your ears. Ross VK7ALH has kindly agreed to the use of his unique alternative call sign, VK7LH, for use during the event, and the dynamic duo of Gavin VK7VTX and Alvin VK7ADQ are the NTARC organisers. If you are interested in attending and utilising the accommodation, then please contact Gavin on mobile 0419 347 289 or Alvin mobile 0458 751298 or email Alvin at deqimages, all one word, at gmail.com. In return, Alvin will email a copy of the information sheet outlining the financial costs and house rules for the weekend. If interested, I suggest you act quickly, as there's already have a number of people showing interest, with some already having paid their accommodation costs. For NTARC members, a copy of the house rules can be found on the NTARC Yahoo members site if you would like to read more about the event. Yes, I know, that's another not too subtle hint, but I must keep plugging away. NTARC Clubrooms Expansion. We advised several Sundays ago that we were in negotiation with Scouts Tasmania to formalise our increasingly frequent use of the main Scout Hall at Rochalie. We are very pleased to announce that those negotiations have been conducted successfully, and NTARC Inc. and Scouts Tasmania have signed an extension to the original lease document that has seen NTARC Inc. assume full occupancy of the entire Rochalie Scout Hall. This will greatly facilitate our future operations, including allowing us to leave the hall set up for meetings and other major events, and to make use of the small side rooms in the hall for dedicated or specific purposes. The future is looking bright indeed. Coffee mornings. A reminder that the twice weekly coffee sessions are held every Monday and Friday, commencing at 10 a.m. and running through until noon or longer if members want to linger longer. Please remember that aside from the good company and fare on offer, these coffee events are normally a good opportunity to collect your QSL cards, but at the moment we have no cards awaiting collection. I have been advised by the state QSL manager that he has not had a major delivery from the WIA for some time now. Please demonstrate your appreciation of all the effort that goes into operating the club and its facilities and other services we provide by joining us at these sessions, enjoying the company cake and coffee, and leaving a gold coin or two, or even a small banknote in the jar to assist in our ongoing operations. And finally, a reminder to all members that if you have any items of news you would like added to the weekly roundup, then please email secretary@ntark.net. And as always, I look forward to seeing you at Rochalie. That's 73s from Yvonne, VK7FYMX, the Secretary NTARC Inc. Southern News, the Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania Inc. and DMR Repeater. Please note that the DMR Repeater VK7RCR in the south is currently off air. Repairs are underway and we hope they will be completed very soon. There will be no broadcast this weekend. And 73s from Clayton, VK7ZCR. And July presentation, Laura. On Wednesday, the 5th of July at 7:30 p.m, visit the Reist Clubrooms to learn all about LoRa, or Low Power Radio Networks. Ben, VK7BEN, will be introducing you to how remote sensing in the Internet of Things world communicates and their uses in creating smart cities, which appears to be quite a buzzword at the moment. But using the 915 MHz ISM band, anyone can start using LoRa with just a few simple components, and Ben will have all the information on how to get started. This event will be live streamed on YouTube, and more information on how to access this live event in the coming weeks. Reist Winter Newsletter. The Reist Winter Newsletter is out, and what a huge edition, cram-packed with stuff. This winter newsletter has information on local radio activities, presentations, upcoming Festival of Bright Ideas, the RD, and much more. Just another great benefit for Reist members and volunteers needed for the Festival of Bright Ideas. The Festival of Bright Ideas is just around the corner in August, and once again, Reist is participating with a large stand. This was a hugely popular event last year with thousands of children and adults experiencing a variety of radio demonstrations. The event is run over 2 days on the 11th and 12th of August. If you are available to volunteer sometime over those 2 days, then please contact Sean, VK7FAZE, via his email, which is sean.lincoln@gmail.com. August Presentation Night, Antarctic Communications. Save the date, the 2nd of August 2017, 7:30 p.m. And a heads up on the August presentation, which will be on Antarctic communications from HF to satellite to maritime and everything else. Some history, some theory, some reminiscing and some fun. And this presentation will be by a number of Reist members headed up by Kim, VK7 Kilo Bravo. This event will also be streamed on YouTube, and another Reist talk not to be missed. And to keep us legal, you are listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Regional News Broadcast. Education and training, and a huge congratulations to Simon Firth and Danny Streets, who both sat and passed their foundation licence assessments last Saturday. We look forward to hearing them on the air very soon. And the Experimenters' Night. Last week we had another night of experimentation. Murray, VK7ZMS, brought along the equipment that Tasmanet is installing to support their IoT, or Internet of Things, network on 915 MHz. Thanks, Murray. Justin, VK7TW, did a short presentation on the VK7RST beacon upgrade project. This ran through the project, the ZLPLL and multi-beacon controllers, the GPS disciplined oscillator unit, the distribution board, and the power amplifiers. This presentation also included some interesting new developments from Wayne Knowles, ZL2BCK, who is the creator of ZLPLL. We learnt that Rex, VK7MO, will be doing three presentations at GIPSTEC, which includes one with Larry, VK7WLH, and Justin will be doing two presentations as well, and so VK7 is very well represented this year at GIPSTEC. Ben and Scott continued our network changeover to our new Tasmanet NBN connection, and a huge thank you to Tasmanet for this service. It was great to see all our regulars along, and also Magai, who made it on Wednesday night. This Wednesday, we have another impromptu presentation from Justin VK7TW on the Down East Microwave 10 gig 3 watt power amplifier kit and possible upgrade paths. This presentation is being given at GippsTech in a week's time, so there will also be further experimentation, show and tell, and much more. See you on Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. Keep an eye on the Reese Taz Facebook page for details. 73s from yours truly, Justin, VK7TW. And technology news, ambient backscatter for IoT sensors. The Internet of Things sensors could connect via ambient radio waves following demonstration of an ultra-wideband backscatter system. IoT systems usually link networks of sensors via radio, but battery power puts limits on usability. Disney Research has determined that one solution may be to get rid of the radios altogether and communicate via the ambient radio waves from TV, radio and mobile phones. Researchers led by Alan Sample, Associate Lab Director and leader of Disney's Research Wireless Systems Group, have devised an ultra-low power system of sensors that transmit data to a central receiver by reflecting the ambient radio waves from commercial broadcasting systems that already bathe most office environments. The approach radically reduces the power requirements of the sensor nodes because it is the generation of radio waves that consumes most of their battery power. In the demonstration in the Disney Research Labs, the researchers were able to meet the tiny bit of power demand that remained by using solar cells optimized for low light conditions. The researchers presented details of their ultra-wideband ambient backscatter system at the IEEE conference on computer communication, Infocom 2017 in Atlanta in June. The team, which included Cho Chang Yang and Jeremy Gummerson, demonstrated the system in an indoor office environment using ambient signals from 14 radio towers as well as two mobile phones. Backscatter communications already used in passive RFID tags, but these systems have limited range, which makes them impractical for IoT systems. Other researchers have shown systems that require even less power by using ambient radio waves from a single source, such as a TV station. But again, the range is limited to a few meters, unless the power of the ambient signal is boosted to higher levels. Sample says the UWB approach, which backscatters all ambient sources, offers key advantages. Using multiple backscatter channels boosts the signal-to-noise ratio, substantially improving the sensitivity of the backscatter reader and decreasing dead zones. That in turn enables the system to operate on real-world ambient sources and substantially extend the range to 22 metres when using ambient signals from broadcast towers and 50 metres when using ambient signals generated by mobile phone uplink traffic. The ultra-low power sensors nodes are necessarily simple, Sample said, which requires the backscatter reader to do the heavy lifting for the system. The reader must receive the backscatter signals, decode, and combine multiple backscatter carriers to recover the data from each sensor. The reader uses four software-defined radio receivers, one for the FM radio band, another to cover most of the cellular uplink and downlink bands, and two for the digital TV bands. Because the hardware doesn't have to be tuned to a particular band, the UWB system can be deployed in almost any metropolitan area, he added. Unlike other experimental systems that leverage ambient radio waves, the Disney system doesn't focus on a single signal source, but uses all available ambient radio sources from FM radio broadcasts to digital TV to the transmitter missions to and from cellular phones. And that was sourced from the Critical Comms Web eZine. If you are interested in becoming an amateur radio operator or upgrading your license, then we suggest you contact your local club for details and or take a look at what the Radio and Electronics School has to offer. They have a range of courses that can be delivered through a variety of methods, and they can be found at website www.res.net.au. A reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcast, Newsreader VK7FB, 80 metres VK7TPE, 40 metres VK7JGD, 20 metres VK7ALH and 10 metres VK7VKT. Thanks to all people and organisations that assisted with this broadcast. That concludes our VK7 Regional News broadcast for this week. You have been listening to or have just missed VK7 Whisky India. Next week, the national WIA news can be heard at 0900, followed by the VK7 Regional News at 0930 hours. Items for the broadcast can be emailed to the VK7 Regional News and Broadcast Coordinator Justin, VK7TW, at vk7tw@wia.org.au. And further information about the broadcast can be found at the VK7 Regional News Yahoo Group. And the deadline for items is 2100 on Friday, prior to the Sunday of the broadcast. VK7 Whisky India is now closing, but will reopen shortly for callbacks and relay reports. Callbacks will be taken on the frequency to which you are listening. Relay stations will use their own call signs during the callback. From the VK7 Regional News, it's good morning from Justin, VK7, Tangled Whiskers.